Today's daf is Menachos daf Pei Vav. We are holding on daf Pei Hei Amud Beis. We just finished the story about the non-Jewish fellow who was asked to secure a great deal of oil for the Jewish community, and he found a man who seemed to be so poor and unassuming, but provided more oil than he ever could have asked for, and turned out to be very rich. And he said, "You see a lesson from here. Sometimes people act rich and they're not rich at all. Sometimes people act poor and they're actually quite rich." Okay, good. So now we're up to the bottom of the page. So we said, in terms of oil, the Mishnah had said you're not supposed to bring from fields that are fertilized, nor from fields that are irrigated. But if you do bring, it's kosher. And then the Mishnah had said, this is really going on the next words of the Mishnah, which is ein mavin and paktan v'im hevi kosher, that one should not bring an paktan, which the Gemara will define, but Rashi defined already yesterday as that which is not ripened fully, that which is not ripened well. So you shouldn't bring oil for the shemen, for the menachos, from anpaktan. So, frak the Gemara, v'atanya ein mevin anpaktan v'im hevi pasul. So doesn't it say in the Braisa that you're not supposed to bring anpaktan, and if you do bring it, it's pasul. Now in the side of the page, it changes the gear, so to mipnei shehu saraf, that the reason that it's a problem is that it's not considered shemen, it's considered saraf. Vatanyim hevi kosher, but what about the fact that it says hevi kosher? So Amar Rav Yosef. So basically, there are two ways to understand this question. Either the question is on the halacha that the Mishnah says hevi kosher, and over here we're saying hevi pasul, that you're not allowed to bring it because it's saraf. Or the way Rashi seems to understand it is that it's not an issue of what the halacha is. He must have had a girsa where the halachas match up with each other, that they're both the same, but rather the very fact that the Braisa identifies it as Saraf as opposed to Shemen, whereas the Mishnah puts it on the list of the types of Shemen that one is not supposed to bring. So that's how Rashi says on the top, Mepeshu Mol Saraf Ba'alma Ve'eno Shemen, it doesn't have a din of Shemen at all. So Amar Rav Yosef Lo Kasha, Harabi Chia Harabi Shem Barabi. It depends who you hold like. There's a machlokas whether it's considered Shemen or it's considered Saraf. The Rabbi Chia Zarekle, Rabbi Chia would not use it, he would throw it out. Rabbi Shem Barabi Matbil Bay. And Rabbi Shimon Rebbe would dip his food in it. He would use it for achila. So v'simnayich ashir mekamtzin, and the way to remember it is ashir mekamtzin of who did what. But the point is though that it's a machlokas whether it was considered a food item or not. Now why would you throw it out just because it's not a food item? Does it have no use? So Tosfos points out zarek lekolomer loya ochlo avelo zorek mamish doesn't actually mean he would throw it out. The sachanos sosha meisher saseir ma'adinas abasar. It has other uses. The Gemara is going to say that it's good for hair removal, it's good to make the skin soft, so it has other uses. Doesn't mean that he literally threw it out. The main point is just that he didn't use it as food because he didn't consider it to be shemen, he considered it to be saraf. So shisha chadashim shemen amar, the Megillah says that when the women were preparing to meet Achashverosh, they had shisha chadashim with 6 months of shemen amar. So my shemen amar, what is shemen amar? Rafun barchi amar satachsa. It is satachsa. Rabbi Yom Barabar Amar Shemen Zayish Lo Hevishlish. No, it's unripened olive oil. It's Shemen Zayish from olives that are not yet one third grown. So Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar An Paknon Shemen Zayish Lo Hevishlish. An Paknon is from olives that are not one third grown. Lama Sachano. So why would they put that on their skin? Shemesher Saseir Ma'adin Asabasar, because it's good for hair removal and it's good for making the skin very delicate and soft. Ein mevinas hagargarin shenashu b'mayim. The Mishnah went on to say that we don't bring from gargarin shenashu b'mayim, from the little pieces that of the olives that had fallen in and were soaked in the water and were there for a long time. So Tan Rabbanan shemen zayis kavush shaluk sharoi v'shal shemarim v'shal reich ra lo yavivim hevi pasul. If you have olive oil that was soaked or that was cooked or that was or that was overcooked, or the shemarim, the sediment of it, or anything that's bad, that's foul smelling, you don't bring it. And if you do bring it, it's pasul. It's gonna be pasul to use as shemen zayis. By Rabbi, hikdishu ma'ushay yilkal of mishum balmum. What if you do bring it? Is it are you gonna get malchus for bringing a balmum? Is it a violation of bringing a balmum? So kiven the pasul ke balmum dami odume ein balmum el bebehema. Do you say, well, this is pasul and therefore it's a balmum, or do you say no, ein balmum el bebehema, balmum is only psul. that you find by behemoth. It's not something that you're going to find by an inanimate object. And once again, the Gemara leaves this question as teku. Now, the Sfasemis is mistapik. The Gemara over here says that from a nachos, you're not allowed to bring shemen zayis, it's kavos, shaluk, sharui, shal shemarim, all that stuff. The Sfasemis is mistapik. What about shimrei shemen for the menorah? Are they also not? Is the sediment of shemen also not considered shemen in regards to menorah? Or maybe it is considered shemen and therefore would be kosher for the menorah. So even though the Torah says by menorah shemen say zach and shmarim are certainly not zach, but maybe zach is not ma'akev and therefore maybe shimrei shemen should be kosher for menorah. That's Sfasemis Masech Shabbos on Daf Chafalef in the Chanukah sugyas. So the Achronim are just bothered by this. What's the Sfasemis talking about? If after all the menorah is more chamer than menachos, the menorah you're supposed to have shemen zay zach. By menachos there's no requirement of shemen zay zach, and therefore if the Gemara is explicit that you're not allowed to bring the shemarim for menachos, so shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer that you're not allowed to use it for the menorah? The menorah requires shemen zay zach. So how could the Sfasemis say that the Gemara says you're not allowed to bring it for the menachos, but I'm a supuk about the menorah? So in Biri Adaf he quotes from Hagrim Biderman. I don't know who that is, but some great rav apparently, who said no, that there's a big chilik between mincha and menorah. The mincha is ne'echelis lekohanim. It's something that's meant to be eaten, so the shemarim cannot be used for the carbon mincha. But the menorah is meant to be lit. It's there, it's not there to be eaten, it's there to be lit. And therefore maybe there's no difference between the shemen and the shemarim, because the shimrei ha-shemen also light very well, and as long as it provides a high quality light, so maybe it's no worse than shemen in regards to what you need from the menorah. Also, by the menachos, we have the concept of akriveu nalefachasecha, that if you want to use this as avoda, let's you bring such things to your governors and see how they like it. But that's only said by a mincha; it's not said by a menorah. So that's what the Sfasemis is maybe driving at. Now there is a ritva mesecha sukkah and daf gimel where the ritva says that we ein madlikin b'batei knesios el bishemen hagun sharoy lahadlik bo lefnei melachim, that you would only light in shuls with shemen that you would be able to use in front of kings. And the Ramah Paskins in Yaradeya, Simon Kov Dalid, that if you have a shemen that's ma'us lechol, that you wouldn't eat, you're not even allowed to use that shemen to light up your shuls because of hakriveyuna lefachasecha. So you see that this concept of hakriveyuna is not only legabe karbanos, even legabe lighting up a shul. So if it's true about lighting up a shul, kal v'chomer would be true about lighting up the menorah, which seems to be against the Sfasemis. Sfasemis thinks that maybe that's only true by karbanos, not true when it comes to lighting the menorah. So again, but over here in the Gemara, again, we had this shaila of whether balmum is a psul that applies to inanimate objects, or it's only a psul that applies to behemoth. So I mentioned yesterday, I didn't go through the whole order, but the Radvaz, in his commentary on the Rambam, writes that we have this same suffix raised by Eitzim, by Yayin, by Shemen, by Solas. Why do we have this same suffix raised in all these different situations? And in all of them, it's a take. So the Radvaz explains that at first Rava was Masupak about Atzei HaMa'aracha, whether there's an Isra to be Makdish them if they're wormy. Because even though the Atzei HaMa'aracha are called a Karban, maybe you could say a Mum is not Shaykh on them, because there's no Hakpad on the Eitzim if there's a worm in it or not, because anyway it's going to be burnt, so it's not going to change the way it burns. It shouldn't make a difference anyway. And then he says, okay, what about wine? Even if you're going to say that by Eitzim there's no Isra, because after all it all gets burnt, but maybe by wine we should be makbid if it's not the best wine, since it's being brought on the Mizbeach. So therefore maybe it should have an Isser Balmum. And then we say, maybe by wine also you could say that since it's you're not maktir it on the Mizbeach, you're only menasech it on the Mizbeach, maybe it's not considered part of the carbon, it's just considered a secondary element of the carbon. It's like the makshirim of the carbon, but it's not a chelik of the carbon itself. But what about shemen? The shemen gets mixed with the flour, and the flour and the shemen mixed together are burnt burnt on the Mizbeach. So maybe that's more similar to Behemoth Balmum, because it itself is Nikrav on the Mizbeach, and maybe a Mum Shapasel by Shemen. So, but maybe also by Shemen you could say that no, Shemen is not exactly like a Behemoth that's subject to Balmum, because maybe Shemen also is only the Machshiri HaKarbon, because the primary part of the Karbon Mincha, the primary ingredient of the Karbon Mincha is not the Shemen, it's the Solas. So maybe you could say that Shemen would not be subject to Balmum. But what about the Solas? So that's really, even though the Gemara doesn't list the Sfeikos in that order, the Radvaz suggests that must have been the order in which Rava had those Sfeikos. And therefore, you see that they build on each other. You go from lowest chance of it being a problem of Balmum to highest chance of it being a problem of Balmum. But the cases are not exactly parallel to each other. Each one adds its own nuance or its own reason why you might consider it more of a hakrava, more of a karban. Okay, new Mishnah. Shlosha zesim hein. There are three zesim. What we mean by three zesim is that the Eitz HaZayis, the olive tree, you malakit the peros from the olive tree three times in a year, because not all zesim are ripened at the same time. So first you malakit the olives from the top of the tree, which are the first ones to ripen because the sun shines directly on them. Then in the second picking of olives, you malakit the zesim that are close to the roofs, which are mispashal next. And then third one, you malakit from the lower branches that grow underneath the roof level, and they're not mispashel, they never get fully ripened. Meaning there are those that ripen early, those that ripen a little bit later, and those that never really ripen. Those are the three levels. That's how Rashi explains over here in the Ksav Yad. Tosos and the Shittim Betzes is just bothered that why would Zesim be chayiv in Peah if that were the case? If they ripen at different times, and you pick them at different times, why would they be chayiv in Peah? There is a halacha in the Mishnah Maseches Peah, Aleph, Mishnah Dalid, where the Mishnah says, Klal Omer B'Peah, Kol Shu Ochel V'Nishmar V'Gdulav Min Aretz U'Likitaso Ka'achas U'Machnis Elokim Chayiv B'Peah. That one of the requirements for something to be Chayiv B'Peah is L'Kitaso Ka'achas. It needs to be something that you pick all at once, that it doesn't get picked at different times. So the Shittim Gvetzes and Tos ask on Rashi if Rashi's understanding of these three words of the Mishnah of Shlosh Zesimain is correct, that there are three different times of Lakita of Zesim. So then why would Zesim be Chayiv and Peah? Well, who says Zesim are Chayiv and Peah? Well, that's another Mishnah and Peah that lists Zesim as things that are Chayiv and Peah on the list of things that are Chayiv and Peah. So that's why the Shittim Gvetzes writes that the Mishnah doesn't mean that they were nilkat bishlosh upon, that you would be malakit at three different times. The Mishnah means that there are three types of zesim. There are some zesim that grow on the top of the tree, which are the best kinds of zesim. They are the most ripened. Then the secondary ones grow near the rooftops. They're not as, they never get as ripened as the ones on the top of the tree. It's not that you leave them there for longer. And third ones never get ripened at all. And those are the lowest quality ones. That's how Shittim Gvetzes understands. But how do you defend Rashi, though? What's Rashi going to do with the Mishnah and Peah? Rashi says clearly that they were malakit at three separate times. So why is it Chayv and Peah? So the Achronim, the Tzonkachim, the Yavitz, the Svasemes, others, all are Miyashiv Rashi, that only a te'ena, a fig, is nisma'et from the fact that it's not l'kitas ha'kachas, is excluded from the chiyuv peah because it's not l'kitas ha'kachas. Why? Because the way the fig works is one day this fig is ripened, the next day the other one is ripened. There is no set time. It's just very random. As opposed to by Zesim, there is set time. There are three set times. It's not completely random. There are three particular tekufos where the time of l'kita comes for different parts of the olive tree. That's going to be called the Kitas HaKachas. That's not going to be a Chisaron of the Kitas HaKachas. Chisaron of the Kitas HaKachas is only when it's completely random. The Mikdash David is Miyashiv Rashi based on a raya that he has from Mishnah, that the Chiv of Peah is not only on a peros that are on a tree that whose peros are Nilkat Ka'achas. It doesn't mean that they all ripen fully at the same time. What he said the Kitas HaKachas means is that they all reach Onas HaMaisros at the same time. What's Onas HaMaisros? They all grow to to one third of their growth at the same time. So he says by the olive trees that happens. The top leaves, the top branches, bottom branches, doesn't make a difference. They all grow to one third of their growth at the same time. Question is, where do they go from there? So from there they branch off into three different directions. The top ones are become fully ripened very quickly. The middle ones become fully ripened a little less quickly, and the bottom ones never become fully ripened. But the kitasu ka'achas, says the Mikdash David, is a din that's tali in onas ha-maisos, in one third of the growth. It's not a din that's talui in full growth. So let's see the Mishnah. So shloshes esamein, there are three, let's go with Rashi's understanding, three types of olives that you're going to pick off the olive tree. Ubehen shloshes shloshes shmanim. Now each of those pickings are going to yield three different types of oil. So in total there are nine different types of oil, because you have three from each picking of olives. Hazayis harishon megagro brosh hazayis v'kotish v'nosim tel chasal. So the first picking of olives, you go and you megargar brosh hazayis. We'll see exactly. The Gemara is going to discuss what megargaro means. But let's say it means you leave it until it's fully ripened, and then you crush it, or you beat it, and you put it in a basket. Rabbi Yudah Amar Svivos Hasal. Rabbi Yudah says you put it on the outside of the basket, on the perimeter of the basket. Zarishon. That's the first bit of oil. The oil that drips out after the first beating from the top of the olive tree is the first of the first group. Chazar v'tan b'kura, then you press it with a beam. Rabbi Yudah Amar Ba'avanim, Rabbi Yudah says you press it with a stone. Zasheni, that, and whatever oil seeps out at that point is the second oil from the first group. Chazar v'tachan v'tan zashlishi, then you grind it up and you crush it again, and you press it again, and more oil will come out. That's the shlishi, that's the third of the first group. Harisha the menorah, Vashar the menachos. The first of the first group is the kind of oil you could use for menorah. After that, everything you could use for menachos, but you can't use for menorah. Hasheni, the second group, Megargro Barosh Agag, Vakotish Rosin Tel Chasal, Rebido Mersius Hasal Zarishon. You do the same thing for the first bit of oil for the second group. Toin Bakura of Rabbi Yudah Amar Ba'avanim Zasheni, again the same process. Chazar v'tachan v'tan Zashlishi, all the same. Harisha the menorah, Vashar the menachos. And again, within the second picking, the first oil that you get from the second picking you could use for menorah, and the second and third oil you get from the second picking you can only use for menachos, you cannot use for menorah. Then the third group, shlishi, otno bebeis habad ad shiilka, you store it in the beis habad, you sort of suffocate it in the olive press until it gets ruined, umaleu, and then you bring it up, umenagvo barosh agag, and you dry it on the rooftop. So this is totally different. Why is this totally different than the first two? The first two were the same, and this one's totally different, because the first two you're dealing with ripened olives. Over here you're dealing with olives that will never ripen, and therefore you have to do whatever you can to be able to get the oil out of them, but they are not ripened olives, so it's a totally different process. So kotesh v'nosim to chasal, you beat it and you put it into the basket. Rabbi Yudah Amar Svivos Hasal, and Rabbi Yudah says at that point, now that it's ripened a little bit, because you've not ripened, but it's softened a little bit because you had done this process to it, so now you go about the normal process. So that is, so you crush it and put it in, you beat it and you put it in the basket. Rabbi Yudah says the Svivos Hasal, that's Rishon, that's the first oil you get from this. Toin Bakur Rabbi Yudah Amar Ba'avanim Zasheni, Chazar v'tachan v'tan Zashlishi, and again Arisha l'menorah v'ashar l'menachos, that the first of the third group you could use for menorah, the rest of the third group you could only use for menachos. Says the Gemara, Ibayilahu Megargro Tanan or Megalgalo Tanan. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that you get that first group of olives? What do you do, Megargro or Megalgalo? What's the proper gears in the Mishnah? What's the difference? If you look at Rashi Ksavyad, Megargro Tanan Shaloket Gargir Kan VeGargir Kan Lefisha Adayin Einu Mavushal. That you pick a little bit here, a little bit there, because it's not yet fully ripened, so you're helping it ripen. Or megalgalo, that you just leave it on the Rosh HaZayis until it gets ripened by itself. So Tashma, we have a raya. Which one is the correct girsa? Titania, because the Braisa is going to say it explicitly. Now, the Braisa, we're only looking for one word in the Braisa. We're looking for the word Megargro or the word Megalgalo, but in the end of the day, we're going to quote the entire Braisa anyway, where it describes all process. Shemen Zayis Mizeso Mikan Amru Zayis Rishon Megalgalo Barosha Zayis V'Konsul V'Sabad V'Tochna Barachayim V'Nosam V'Salim. That you are Megalgal on the Rosh HaZayis, and you are Konsul, meaning you help it along to become ripened. You roll it out a little bit to become, I'm sorry, Megalgalo is the opposite, that you leave it there to become ripened. You let it ripen at its own pace. And then you bring it to the Beis Chabad, you grind it in the mill, you put it in baskets. Shemen Yotzi Menu Zel Yerishon, the first oil that comes out of it is the Rishon. Ton Bekura Shemen Yotzi Menu Zel Yesheni, you put it under a press, the oil that comes out is the Sheni. Chazu Park Vatachum Vatan Zel Yeshlishi, then you grind it up and again you press it down, that's the Shlishi. Harishon the Menorah Vashal Menachos V'chein Zel Yesheni V'Zel Yeshlishi V'chein Zel Yesheni, period. V'Zel Yeshlishi, and the third picking of olives, Ot No Beis Habad Ad Sheilak, and again you suffocated in the Beis Habad, you store it in close quarters in the Beis Habad until it gets ruined. Umal L'Rosh Hagag, and you put it on the top of the roof also, so come in tomorrow, and you make like a little pile out of it, Ad She'ezovu Meimav, until the oil starts flowing from it, V'Kons L'Rosh Hagag, and you bring it into the Beis Habad, V'Tochno Barichayim, you grind it up in a mill, V'Nosel B'Sal, you put it in baskets, V'Shemena Yotzi Mena Zaya Rishon, and the oil that comes out of that is Rishon. Tan B'Kura Shemena Yotzi Mena Zaya Sheni, Parak Chaz V'Tach V'Tan Zaya Shlishi, HaRishon L'Menor V'Hashal L'Menachos. Essentially exactly the same thing our Mishnah said. The whole point of quoting that Braisa was because we were looking for that one word. We were looking for the word Megalgalo. Rabbi Yudah Mer Lo Yotochno Barichayim Elokot Shemachteshes. Rabbi Yudah says they wouldn't grind it in a mill, they would just beat it with a hammer. V'loyatoin bakura ela ba'avanim, and they wouldn't press it down with a beam; they would press it down with stones. V'loyinosu b'sal and elatoch suvos hasal. Again, it's just a different order, but Rabbi Yehuda expresses the same shitos that Rabbi Yehuda expresses in the Mishnah. Haguf akasha. But anyway, we have a stira. Kotesh mani Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda toch hasal asal n'rabanan. Wait a second. It says that you're kotesh. Our Mishnah said that only according to Rabbi Yehuda you're kotesh. But then it says you put a toch hasal, which sounds like you're going like the Rabbanan. So which is it? So says the Gemara, yeah, both. Haitan, Asar v'lekavasei b'chada, palagalei b'chada. Those two shitos are not interdependent. So it holds like Rabbi Yehuda on one issue, and holds like the Rabbanan on another issue. Not a problem at all. Fine, so you have these three oils from each of the three pickings, which is a total of nine oils. Now what do you do? So Arishon Shabarishon in the Malaymenu. The first oil from the first picking, that's the best oil in the whole world. There's nothing better than that. Hasheni Shabarishon Varishon Shabarishoni Shavin. The second oil from the first picking, or the first oil from the second picking, those are equal to each other. Those are of equal quality. Hashlishi Shabarishon Vasheni Shabarishoni Varishon Shabarishlishi Shavin. The third from the first, the second from the second, and the first from the third are all equal. This is very easy to remember because it's just the numbers add up. That there's one, which is the, or two, you would say the first from the first, which is 1 plus 1. Then you have the second from the first, which is 1 plus 2, or first from the second is 1 plus 2. That's the second level. I mean, it lines up if you just add the numbers, so it works out exactly. Hashlishi shabasheni vashani shabashlishi shavin. The third of the second and the second of the third are equal. Hashlishi shabashlishi in the mate mena, and then the third of the third, there's nothing worse than that. Af kol ha-menachos ha-yubedin she-yitinu shemen zayizach. The truth is, all menachos really should have required shemen zayizach, should have required pure olive oil. That should have been the halacha. Because after all, ma menorah shein la'achil tu neshem zayizach, menorah shein la'achil eino din she'itu neshem zayizach. Menorah oil is not even meant to be eaten, and that does require shem zayizach. So menachos oil, which is meant to be eaten, all the more so should require shem zayizach. So tam lomer zach kasis lama'ar, ve'ein zach kasis lamenachos. But that's why we have a special gzeres hakasuv, zach kasis lama'ar, to tell you that zach is only a din in or, it's only a din in that which gives light. It's not a din in menachos. So menachos, even though we could have had a kavachomer that tells me that it does require Shem and Zayizach, in the end it does not require Shem and Zayizach. This leads us to the whole discussion in the Achronim about the concept of kavachomer tchilas ulahachmir v'sofa lahakel. Let's put it this way. There is a Gemara Masechta Sukkah. Gemara Masechta Sukkah records the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, where in Sukkah Daf Lamed Vav Beis, where Rabbi Yehuda tries to say that Sukkah should only be able to be made out of the dal and minim shabalula, that you should not be allowed to make your Sukkah out of anything but lulav esra kadasim and aravos. Why? Because he says kal v'chomer. A lulav is noheg only during the daytime, and yet we're so machmir that you got to use dafka these dalin minim. So sukkah, which is noheg day and night, all the more so you should have to use these dalin minim. Say the rabbanon to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a terrible kal v'chomer, because the kal v'chomer is supposed to introduce a chumra. This kal v'chomer is not only going to introduce a chumra, it's also going to introduce a big kula, because what's going to happen to a person who doesn't have dalin minim to make a sukkah out of? You know what he's going to say if you follow Rabbi Yehuda's shita? I don't have to make a sukkah because I simply don't have the materials. Just like if we didn't have anything that grew from the ground and wasn't makabel tumah, we would say, no, I'm pater, I'm anonymous. I don't have to make a sukkah. I don't have the proper materials to make a sukkah. If you introduce this din, Rabbi Yehuda, people are going to end up not making a sukkah. And you can't have such a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer that starts tchilas lahachmir v'sofa lahakel. The Gemara has this in Pesachim on Chav Zayin and Beis. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Yehuda's shita again, that ein bir chametz el esreifer. Rabbi Yehuda says, the only way to do the mitzvah of bir chametz is sreifa. So the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, terrible idea. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda says he has a kal v'chomer. If nosar, which there's no isra of bal yirah, there's no isra of owning nosar, and still the only way that you're allowed to get rid of nosar is be'ish tisrafu, that you have to burn it. So chametz, where there's an isra of bal yirah, bal yimatzi, where it's more chamor, all the more so you should have a requirement to burn it. Say the Rabbanan to Rabbi Yehuda, bad idea. That's chilas l'achmir v'sof l'akel, because what's going to be with the person who doesn't have a match or doesn't have the ability to make a fire? He's going to say, oh, okay, I guess I might as well keep my chametz around because I have no way of getting rid of it, kehalacha. But yet the Torah says that tashbisu sarmi bateichem, that you need to destroy the sa'ar, and you're not doing that if you don't have a match, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Achronim asks, well, wait a second, what about this kal v'chomer? The Mishnah over here suggests that we would have assumed that for a carbon mincha, you need shemen zayin zach. Why? Kal v'chomer. If you need it for a menorah, all the more so you should need it for a mincha. What? How's that a valid kal v'chomer? What about tchilas l'hachmir v'sof l'hakel? What's going to be with the person who's chayv to bring karban mincha and he doesn't have shemen zayizach? Isn't he going to end up saying, oh well, I guess I can't bring karban mincha and not bring karban mincha at all? Isn't this exactly the case of tchilas l'hachmir v'sof l'hakel? So this is the kasha. If you remember, we discussed this kasha about 81 days ago on Daf Hey. We discussed this kasha earlier in the Masechta as well in a different context, because over there on Daf Hey Amid Beis, the Gemara was discussing how we know that a treifa can't be used for a karban. So Abaye said that it's kal v'chomer, because even we said that even a hedyot is not allowed to eat a treifa. So because of a kal v'chomer, which is balmum that is mutter la hedyot. So therefore, we learn that a treifa can't be used for a karban. So there also we raise the question of anytime you're limiting what you're allowed to use for a karban through a kal v'chomer, isn't that tchilas l'hachmir v'sof l'hakel? Because what if you don't have it? Now that I am limited to a more narrow possibility, so what if I don't have that more narrow requirement? Then I'm not going to bring carbon at all. So there are several answers given in the Achronim. We'll just mention one or two because we've got to get moving here. But the Aruch Liner suggests that the idea of Kol Din Tchilas L'Achmir V'Sof L'Hakel is only shayich when the Kal V'Chomer is going to cause you to be Yoshev U'Batel and Mevatel L'Mitzvah Saseh. Like, for instance, the Mitzvah Saseh of Tashbisu or Bal Yira'ah or the Mitzvah of Sukkah, where you can eat outside of the Sukkah. By Menachos, it's not shaykh to say that, because in Menachos Nadava, what's going to happen? If I don't have Shemen Zayizach for my Mincha, so what am I going to do? I'm just never going to bring the Mincha? No, I'll wait till I get Shemen Zayizach. I'm not going to be Batel, I'll wait till I get Shemen Zayizach. Why don't you say the same thing by Sukkah? Because I might get Dalad Minim a week after Sukkot, and then it's too late. So then I'm going to end up being Vatel Mitzvah. By Pesach, by getting rid of Chametz, I might get a fire, I might get a match, but it will be the day after Pesach. Well, great, then it's too late. Then I already, the Zman has already passed. So, but when it comes to the Mincha, there is no Zman of a Karban Mincha. You bring the Mincha whenever you want. Certainly a Mincha Sandava. Whenever you want, you can bring a Mincha. And even a Mincha Schova, where it says the minchas of miniskeyem, the Gemara dashin dafilu lemacher, and lemacher really means whenever you wanna bring it, you could wait to be mekayim it even lezman meruba. So there's no time frame that you need to get it in. It's not going to cause you to be yoshev v'batel. And furthermore, the kal v'chomer is only applies to those menachos that get eaten, because the whole kal v'chomer is if menorah, which is only used for lighting, you need shemen zayizach. So mincha, which is used for eating, all the more so you need shemen zayizach. So by most minchas chova, the whole thing gets burnt. Minchas nesachim chavitim are not nechalin at all. They're kula kalil. So the whole kal v'chomer would never have applied in the first place. The only menachos hanechalos that have a zman kavua that would therefore be problematic in this context are the lechem apanim and the shtei alechem. But the lechem apanim and shtei alechem don't need oil. at all. So then there's no problem. There's vayta no problem. So the only one that would really be a problem is the Minchas HaOmer. Minchas HaOmer is a zman kavua. It's a chiyuv. It's a zman kavua, and it has oil. So it could be that in a chinami that the kal v'chomer would not have ever worked for that carbon mincha, for the Minchas HaOmer. The kal v'chomer is only suggested for every other carbon mincha. And anyway, the Mishnah rejects the kal v'chomer based on the pasuk. The Mishnah is going to end up saying the kal v'chomer doesn't work. But that's the Aruch Liner's approach. Binyan Sion has an unbelievably beautiful approach to this issue. Binyan Sion just writes, wait a second, why is it dafka kal v'chomer that we say that tchilas l'hachmir v'sof alahakel is a problem? Why is kal v'chomer different than any of the other Yudgav Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben, where even if based on one of the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben, you're going to end up being mekil, so enochinami, that's going to be the din. For instance, I learned from other Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben that a sukkah cannot be made out of things that are mekabel tumah. So why don't we say, oh no, that's sof alahakel, because what if all I've got is mekabel tumah? I'm going to end up not building a sukkah. And the answer is, what do we say? But don't build the sukkah. Whatever sukkah you're going to build with things that are mekabel tumah is not going to be kosher anyway. So why that kal v'chomer? Does that bother us? If the kal v'chomer is a valid drasha, so just say good. So that's the kal v'chomer. So it has to be, says the Binyan Tzion, that the pshat is like Rashi, that kal v'chomer, the whole ikur limud of a kal v'chomer is only because of the extra chumrah of the item of chametz over noser. That's why we're willing to add another chumrah that you have by noser. And therefore, you can only learn a chumrah from it, not a kula. Meaning, what drives the kal v'chomer is its chumrah. And therefore, you can only learn chumras from a kal v'chomer. So therefore, the kal v'chomer in our mission is not a problem. Because our mission is not coming to learn that menachos are more chumor than menorah. No. What's the kal v'chomer based on? It's not based on the fact that menachos are more chumor than menorah. It's just based on the fact that practically you eat menachos. So it makes more sense that menachos should be made out of oils that are edible, because practically you eat them. It's not a din in the chumrah of menachos. It's a din in the fact that menachos are edible. And that's and therefore there wouldn't be an issue of kal v'chomer tchilas l'hachmir v'sof l'hakel in our Mishnah. Okay, going weiter now in the Gemara. So it says in Gemara, Shemen v'amrit rishon l'menorah v'ashar l'menacha shavin. I'm sorry, shavin. How can you say shavin that the sheni barishon and the rishon shabasheni are the same? That the second oil you get from the first group and the first oil you get from the second group are the same? Didn't we say rishon l'menorah v'ashar l'menachos that in the second group the first oil you get is good for the menorah? In the first group, the second oil is not good for the menorah. So how are they shavin? It means that they're equal in terms of using them for a carbon mincha. Meaning that if you want to use, you want to find the nicest oil to use for a carbon mincha, and all you have available to you is the second oil from the first group or the first oil from the second group, they are to be treated as equals. Neither one is preferred over the other. But in a chinami, if you wanted to use something from the menorah, then you would need to use the first oil from the second group. So he said, all the menachos really should have required shemen zay zach. Tan rabbanan zach ein zach ela naki. Zach means pure, clean oil. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kasis ein kasis ela katush. Kasis means that it should be crushed. Yachl ye zach kasis pasul the menachos. I might have thought that zach kasis should be pasul the menachos, that you should not use it since for menachos, since it only says the Torah only gives a requirement to use it for the menorah. Why would I think that it's pasul? How is it possible to say that a shemen that's yotze sheni is kosher, whereas the shemen that's yotze rishon is going to be pasul? Meaning the first oil that comes out, which is the better oil, is pasul, and the second, what's the havamina? So Rabbi Leo Mizrahi explains that the second oil that comes out is sweeter and more royal la'achila. So the menorah, which is there for the or, the first oil is better because it lights better. But the menachos, which are both la'achila, one might have thought that the second oil is better because it tastes better. And that's what it means, that I might have thought that zach kasis is pasul mincha, that it's only good for menorah. The problem is Lecha Mishnah says, wait a second, our Mishnah had said, we would have thought that all menachos should require shemen zayizach because all menachos are la'achila, and therefore there's more reason to assume that they should need shemen zayizach. So that sounds exactly against what Rabbi Yehuda Mizrahi is saying. It sounds from our Mishnah that shemen zayizach is better for achila, because the suggested kal v'chomer in the Mishnah was that if you need shemen zayizach even for lighting, kal v'chomer for achila you should need shemen zayizach. Makes it sound like achila is more shemen zayizach, is that shemen zayizach is better for achila, not worse for achila. So that's the kasha that the Lech Mishnah asks on Rabbi Yom Mizrahi. Very difficult kasha. Now Rashi in the Ksav Yad says that when the Mishnah says menachos shehin la'achila, it's not talking about achilas adam. It's talking about achilas mizbeach. That would answer the kasha, because achilas mizbeach doesn't mean the way it tastes. Achilas mizbeach is that it gets burnt on the mizbeach. So it's saying that the menachos that are meant to be eaten by the mizbeach, which means that it has a din of a such a chomer dika din that we treat it as something that we're makriv. So that was the whole kal v'chomer in the Mishnah. Nothing to do with the edibility of it, but it could be the Mizrahi is right that the second oil that comes out is more edible. But anyway, one might have thought that this is no good for menachos. Tamalomer v'sarin solos bal v'shem kasis. Imkain matamalomer l'ma'ar. Why does the pasuk then have to say l'ma'ar? Because of chiskon, my chiskon. What is chiskon? Amar Blazer, Torah chasal mamonim shel Yisrael. The Torah has rachmanos on our money that we shouldn't, that we don't need zach and kasas for menachos. We only need it for neros to tell us that the Torah is being very makpid, that we shouldn't spend more money than necessary. The Torah is chasal mamonim shel Yisrael. Remember, we just had a discussion recently about five different places or four different places where we say a Torah chasal mamonim shel Yisrael, and the opposite idea that we have in Shas of ein anius b'makom ashirus, that when it comes to the Beis Hamikdash we spend as much as we want. Different yeshuvim in the achronim. Okay, we just had that discussion. Savas Bnei Yisrael v'yichwe elecha shemen zay zach. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni elecha v'lo li. That what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, take for yourself shemen zay zach to put in the menorah. Not for me, God says, because lo la'ora ani tzarech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need the light of the menorah. You're doing this for you. You're not doing this for me. So that's one of the main ideas of karbanos. The Meshech Chachma talks about how karban is dafkan a mizbeach avanim, because an even doesn't need any nourishment. It doesn't need any help. It doesn't need sunlight. It doesn't need watering. Because we have to remember by karbanos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely independent. He doesn't need what we're giving him. We need to give it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need it in any way. That's why the Sanhedrin, the Meshech Chachma says, has to sit near the Mizbeach, because the Sanhedrin has to try to model that sense of independence and of not needing. That's why someone who sits on the Sanhedrin has to be independently wealthy, because if he's subject to other people, and he needs other people, so then he's not going to be able to be completely unbiased. Okay, Shulchan itself from Menorah Bedarom. The Shulchan is in the north, the Menorah is in the south. Amar B'Zekar, Amar B'Lazar, Lola Achila, Nitzarech, Lola Ora, Nitzarech. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I don't need to eat from the Shulchan, I don't need the light of the Menorah. Vayas Lebeis Chaloni Shkuf, Lebeis Chaloni. That for the Beis Hamikdash there were certain windows. So the windows were made in such a way that light didn't come in very much through the windows. They were like backwards. Normally you'd want to make windows where you get as much natural sunlight as possible. They were made as if the sunlight was going out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I don't need the light, and this light is going to emanate to the rest of the world. This was to the whole world that the Shekhinah is with Klal Yisrael. Vim Tomar Lora Nitzarech Velo Kol Abraham Shana Shalchi Yisrael B'Midbar Lo Holchu Elo Lo Uro. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the light? For 40 years in the Midbar we used HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light. Ela Eidus Ulu Kol Bayolam Shashkinah Shar B'Yisrael. The whole idea of the menorah is that it serves as an Eidus that the Shekhinah is with us. My Eidus, so in what way is the menorah an Eidus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us? Amar Rav Zen Ner Ma'arav Yishinosim B'Shemen K'neged Chavroseh Mimeno Yamadik U'Baha Yimisayim. For some reason, even though the Ner Ma'arav had exactly the same amount of oil as all of the other candles in the menorah, it was the first one lit and it was the last one to go out. So that was part of the Eidos, that was one of the miracles in the Beis Hamikdash. That served as an Eidos that the Shekhinah, one of the miracles, as the Eidos that the Shekhinah was always with us. Okay, Rav Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up from the next Mishnah about Yayin.